Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
We're going to do something a little different this morning, so we're looking forward to that. But before we do, we want to let you know what the summer is going to look like and where we're going. You might have seen it in the bulletin already or online, but this summer we're going to be working through a series called Who Me. And Who Me is going to be a 7-week series through July and August. We're going to have 7 different speakers, and they're going to investigate 7 different biblical characters who may have been an odd choice for God. And so our thought with that is, would you choose whom God chose? Or would God's choice be your choice? So we're going to look at characters from the Old Testament. We're going to look at characters from the New Testament. And our teachers will make up some of the pastoral team here, as well as some guests as well. So it is going to be an absolute blast. I encourage you to connect with that. The great thing with that series is it's not going to be super sequential. So if you're gone for summer holidays, you're not going to miss anything when you come back and jump into the middle of it. But stay with, connected with it if you're going to be away through the podcast, and we'll go from there. But this week is our final installment in W is for Welcome. So we're going to do something a little different and go for it together. Are you up for that journey to do a panel and see where it takes us? Cool.
Yeah.
So Doug's going to come on up, as well as our panelists. So if you guys want to come on up, and we will go from there.
All right. Good. Come on up, you guys. We're going to properly introduce these guys to you in a few moments. And I see that, Luke, you can feel a bit more comfortable because at least one other person on this platform is not wearing socks, and so it's a good thing. We're there. We're with you. So, as Luke said, okay. That's all good. No, Ron, you know, please keep them on. It's good. Well, as we said, this is we're moving into our final installment on a 3-Sunday series on W is for Welcome. And I don't know about you, but I've really enjoyed it. I've enjoyed thinking it through, wondering what that means in terms of our context here. So let me just give you kind of a brief summary over those last couple of weeks before we dive into our table talk this morning. One of the things that we discovered is that God has welcomed and he pursues humanity. That is the heart of God. And that goes from the very beginning in creation to the foot washing that Jesus did with the disciples to the cross itself. We see this wonderful picture of God as a God of welcome. He is a God of welcome. And he invites us to life. He invites us to this relationship as Christ followers. He invites us also to welcome others, to explore the same relationship that we find ourselves in with Jesus. And it really is amazing. I think we've also learned that welcome in our context is much more than just a greeting or a good chat. We know that welcome is much deeper than that, and we've talked about that in terms of our community time, which is 7.5 minutes long, and that is not a place where we anticipate necessarily that deep community is going to happen, but it is a window or it's an opening towards that. So when we've talked about welcome here over these last couple of Sundays, we've talked about it in a much broader context than just a greeting. It is some of these things. It's intentionally welcoming people into our lives. We've talked before about that value for us, being a people of invitation. It's about welcoming each other's stories, listening to each other's stories, and sharing our stories with others. And because that really opens our eyes to the broad diversity of people that we have here and faith experiences. So story is all a part of being a welcoming person. We also talked about the fact that being a welcoming community is also about welcoming mess, because all of us have our own mess, sometimes a deeper mess on one day than another, but we all have that, and that's something that we're going to welcome here, because that's part of humanity. It's a part of who we are. Connected to that is that welcoming is also about meeting the needs of others. So important for us that we respond in love and we engage practically in that. And I think, you know, just helping the Palmers out this Saturday is a good example of that, where there's this practical expression of helping, meeting one another's needs. That's what family is about. That's such a welcoming environment. Very, very powerful. Good welcome is demonstrated then in serving one another as well. We talked about serving in the context of this community. What can we do to help? So we have this great big barbecue happening this coming Sunday. Can you help with that? That's serving one another, and it's providing this place of welcome, which is so important. So we talked about that within the context of this community, but also in terms of the communities in which we live, our neighborhoods, the places that we work, and maybe the places where we go to school. How do we serve one another? Because we know that Jesus gave us that model of serving. Jesus came to serve, and we also are to serve. And the final point is that welcome, we've discovered, is about seeing our table as never being full. We see Jesus as one that is calling others to this table. And so this table can never get so plugged up that others can't come. This table always has to be open. And we need to be a part of that invitation to others to explore the table, to come and to enjoy being at that table and being a part of community. So we have discovered that the expression of Christian welcome is not just a nice idea, but it is, in fact, an expression of our faith, a strong reflection of who Jesus is in us. We've talked about the principles, and we've talked about the practices. And so that's why today, I think, is going to be awesome, because we're going to talk a little bit more. We're going to go a little bit deeper in terms of what welcome is all about. And so we're using this table as a gathering point for us in terms of community. We've got this awesome panel. So the idea here really is to kind of just dig a little bit deeper and get some other expressions and thoughts in terms of what welcome is all about.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Doug. So this panel this morning hasn't been gathered because they're perfect at hospitality and welcome. And they would be the first ones to say that. And they're also not gathered because they have all of the right answers. We're not looking for the right answers. We're looking for unique perspectives. And so this is a very unique group of people, and we're excited to spend some time with them. I'm going to introduce them to you really quickly. First, over here, we have Ron. And Ron is a husband, he's a father, he's a designer, he's a builder. Ron's been a Christian for a while. And he's got one of those really unique giftings in being able to talk to just absolutely anyone. And kind of guy that once you've had a conversation with him for a couple minutes, you walk away feeling like $1 million. Some of you know Ron, right? Hands up if you know Ron and you like Ron. Okay. We're Ron fans. Okay. So Ron's a life group leader. Ron's a member of our music team as well. So let's say hi to Ron and welcome him here this morning. Next, I want to introduce Hero to you right next to me. Hero is a family man. He's got three small kids and a wife, and he's a small business owner as well. And he's also quite the visionary. He's got a kind soul, and they're going to notice that very quickly if you spend any amount of time with Hero. He's got a kind soul, and he's a really generous person. Hero's not a churchgoer, and he wouldn't call himself a Christian, but we are absolutely huge fans of Hero because he owns Republica Coffee Roasters, and that's the coffee we drink here. And we know that's why you all come. So we're really honored to have Hero share with us this morning. So thanks for being here, Hero. This is going to be good. And then last but certainly not least is Sujina. Sujina is a student. She's a mentor. She's a mentee. And she's a really great friend. She's highly collaborative. And she loves to talk about the things of life that matter. Every time I have a conversation with Sujina, like, forget about the small talk. Let's get right into what really matters. She's a people seer. She notices who's on the outside and she gathers them in. She lives in Fort Langley. She's a life group leader, and she's also a member of our host team. And so she's going to be greeting people as they come in the building at 11 today. So thanks for being with us, Sujina. Let's say hi to Sujina as she is with us this morning.
Well, this is going to be very informal and all of that, so we want to just sort of begin by giving you a chance to kind of test your voice a little bit. So, Ron, you've been around the world. Thanks. That's very good. Tell us your favorite place in the world.
My favorite place would be Ljubljana, Slovenia. This beautiful little city there, and I'd say that's about sitting in the middle of the old city.
Wow,
number one so far.
All right, that sounds great.
I probably didn't even say the name of the city right.
Well, we wouldn't know the difference anyway. It's fine. So, Gina, tell us a favorite food. What would be a favorite food of yours?
I guess I grew up eating a lot of Indian food because my mom was born in India, and that's all I knew until I was quite older. So I think a really spicy Indian curry would be my favorite.
Very cool. I love that little piece of story there in India. Awesome. That's good. Okay, Hiro, you've been in Fort Langley for how long now, business-wise?
A couple years now.
So you know the place well. Other than Republic of Coffee, where would be a favorite place that you would like to land in Fort Langley?
Well, actually, it's only been a year. It felt like a couple of years. But I would say that my favorite business, one that's helped us out establish ourselves in Fort Langley, is our neighbors, the Cranberry Store.
Nice.
They're the one that... They were customers of ours before we moved in, and they're the ones responsible for letting me know about the location there. So I would say I drop by all the time there and chat with all the girls there. So right, that would be my favorite business, I think.
Good. Well, that's a great community within community.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Great. So, Ron, we're going to start with you. Why is an attitude of welcome or invitation or hospitality important for a church or a Christian to exhibit? So in short, why does welcome matter to you?
In short?
Very.
Well, number one, we're called Christians, which is a Christ follower. So I would say to be the best representative of Christ would be a person that is kind of warm, welcoming, kind of non-confrontational, just a real good person, which is sort of like an attractive person. So that's the first point of contact. People come, the world comes into a place, and if they're going to see a bunch of grumpy old people, not going to stick around too long. So I think if we can be Christ-like, it's going to be an attraction, and it's going to be somewhere where people are going to love coming. Yeah.
Cool. So, Gina, same question. Why does welcome matter, or why do Christians need to be welcoming, hospitable?
I guess when I read this question, what I was thinking was, in your sermon a couple weeks ago when you said, we're born with this innate need to belong. And I think now more than ever, we're disconnected from each other, and we're lacking real community just in our culture today. And I think one of the best ways we can exhibit God's character is just sharing that sense of belonging. And I think real community is attractive now more than ever. And whether that's just engaging in a friendship or inviting someone to church, I think we could just show his character through just making people feel like they belong, even just in our presence.
Right. So when people look at us, they're going to get a sense of the character of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cool.
It's an interesting perspective. So then let's lead that to another point, maybe, Sujina, and then Ron afterwards. But can you think of a time or a place where you felt a particular sense of welcome, that it was sort of like you went, wow, man, that feels good to me?
Definitely. What immediately comes to mind is when I was going here for a little while, and I went to my first church meeting for life group leaders. I was pretty shy, and I remember hiding in the back, and I met Lynn Gettle. She came up to me, and she was so warm, like she had known me forever. And she invited me to her life group. And then a few days later, I got this really sweet email just checking up and telling me she really wanted to get to know me. And even though I had been leading my own life group for a while, and I would go to church and I would try to welcome other people, she still went out of her way to welcome me. And that I really actually needed that time. And looking back, I think going to her life group every Tuesday helped me be the life group leader I needed to be on Wednesday. And it makes me think that when we're welcoming people, we're opening doors for God to work and to work through us.
Wow, that's great. What about you, Ron? Time that welcome just was popped for you.
Well, I can't even think of one time, because I remember more of the times that I wasn't, and they were probably more of an impact. But definitely when we came here, that was a sense of really a lot of warmth and getting to know people really quickly. And people were willing to just open up very quickly. I think of Kevin there. And, yeah. He was one of the boys. Good welcomer.
Yeah, it's, he's gifted that way, for sure.
Cool. So, Gina, you mentioned Lynn Gettle, and like Lynn has there's something about her, right? So what do you say that's about Lynn that you just appreciate the most in terms of how she treats you and interacts with you?
The thing that I love about Lynn is when you see her, she lights up. You walk into a room, and it's like she's been waiting for you. She can't believe you're finally there. She just can't wait to see you. And every time I feel like I'm here to see you. Like, it makes me feel so great. And I just love seeing her. And, you know, she's just genuinely excited to see you. And, yeah.
That's cool. That's good. That's good. Would you say that Lynn has had a dramatic impact on a lot of people throughout her life?
I think so.
Yeah. Would you say that we may not really understand it totally now, but we might understand it later?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think 100 years from now we'll be talking about it.
Yeah. Cool. So, Hiro, I have a question for you. Growing up, what was your perspective of Christianity and the church and Christians, and how was your perspective shaped?
Well, growing up, I think my first encounter was probably around grade one. And back in those days, I'm sure some might remember, you stood up in class and sang God Save the Queen before class started. And, well, I was born here in Canada, but I spoke a lot of Japanese at home with my parents, and so I had been put into ESL. And the ESL class basically gave me an introduction to Christianity and all the celebrations that go on. So in my youth, Christmas was big, of course, and Easter and all the fun little holidays that Christians celebrate. And my parents, they wanted me to experience that, and they didn't deny me those things. And so I was free to learn what was being taught to me. My perspective and idea of Christianity, it's very positive. It's a great message that's being taught, and I think it's great that it's a way to live, sort of the right path, and generally I have a very positive idea of what Christianity is. I myself don't go to church very often, only on occasions like this.
So the churches ask you to speak a lot? Are you an international speaker and we don't realize it?
Not very often, and thank God for that.
That's great, Hiro. I've got a question for you. So from your perspective, when you think about us, a community, how, and you understand sort of the nature, the positive nature, because you're a positive person, what are some of the kinds of things that we might do as a community that would have, as far as you see, like a positive impact, kind of that welcoming thing that we're talking about?
Well, community is very important, and feeling that you belong is also very important. When you feel like you're on the outside, you may think negative thoughts, and you might go off path. And so places like this are, I think, very, very important for community. And, just to help the youth stay on track, don't get swayed by outside external things. There's so much negativity out in the world these days. And with social media and everybody being on their computers and tablets, you might get disconnected by human interactions, and so I think this is very important.
Mm. That's good. Right on.
So, if Christians and churches are to be a positive impact on society, Hiro, and we talked about that in your perspective, but Sujina, what do you think the church needs to be in society today? What do you think that needs to look like?
Well, what I love about this church is it's authentic, relatable. The people here are relatable. They're vulnerable. They're honest. And I've seen it change people's lives. Coming here and has changed my life. And the first Sunday I came here, Doug shared a very touching story. And I thought, if he can be that honest, that's when I decided to come to this church. And I think that when we're that vulnerable and we're that authentic, I think then we can really connect with people and they can relate to us. And I think that's where it starts. And then I think we just have to be open to God speaking to us.
Do you think that's part of what culture really desires today, is just the reality, like authentic people? It seems like there's a lot of pushback when people are inauthentic. So pretty important for the church to be that way.
Yeah, I think it's very attractive, because I think, especially, you know, my generation, we have all these hang-ups about hypocrites in the church. And then when you see people being so honest, you're safe, you feel safe, you feel comfortable, and it's very welcoming.
Mm. Yeah, very good. Very good.
So, Ron, as we talk about being welcoming and being kind and being, you know, authentic, do you think that there are some people who are just better at being like that, whether you want to call it kind-heartedness or anything like that? Why do you think some people seem to be better at that than others? And do you think they are, or what's going on with that?
Oh, definitely. I mean, some people's nature, just like Lynch, just everything kind of pops out. And part of that is natural, and part of it is a gift, and part of it is practice. Being friendly sometimes is a skill that you have to learn, just like everything else. Because half the time you don't feel like being friendly, you don't feel like being welcome. You just want to come down and sit down. But it's sort of like a marriage, eh, Doug? Sometimes you just got to make it work.
Absolutely, Ron.
Yeah.
Well, there's a window and into your life right now.
Huh?
We're talking just about a whole new series here.
No, you know, but some people are just so naturally friendly, it just kind of makes you sick. I'm not one of those.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
I make you sick?
Yeah. Well, you have a... You guys all have this have a unique gift in that, and obviously some people just seem to be that way. But, Sujina, you have thoughts on that, right? Like, some people seem to be that way, and others of us not so much. Like, quick example, when I was in Bible college in my second year and Ruben and I were studying together, at one point he pulled me aside and said, "Luke, why do you want to be a pastor if you don't like people?" And I struggled with that, because he could tell that it's not easy for me. I can be very introverted, and it takes a lot of effort. But, you know, do I just need to try harder? Like, what do you think about all that?
I think that we all have different personalities, and we're, you know, filtering things through our good and bad experiences. But I think that we can use that as an excuse to not try. We can say someone's better at that. And to be honest, this time, maybe 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, I thought I was terrible at that. And I don't think it's ever easy, and I think we all do it uniquely in our own way, but I think it's our responsibility, and I think we just have to push ourselves. And I know that the more you do it, the easier it gets, even though it's never that easy, but yeah.
I really like what you said there in terms of there needs to be an ownership that we all take, but we can all do it in a unique way. We can all express it in our own way. We don't have to fit in a box, and we don't have to all look like Ruben happy-go-lucky Kramer, right? Okay. He's great. Is he in here? Okay.
Not anymore. He doesn't feel welcome. I think the key here that we're talking about is intentionality, right? We talked a bit about that last week. And so even using the idea of marriage, there's an intentionality that is there. Mm-hmm. So I think what we're saying is that really we can all try.
We can all try. I think also a lot of people just don't want to be, they don't want to be out there and meeting people, because it's a little bit of a pride thing. They're afraid to mess up.
Right. Yeah. So just, yeah. Right. Taking some steps of faith.
You know, sometimes you just gotta, our minds forget. You might not remember that you met somebody a few minutes before. Yeah.
That's right.
I mean, the other day I went into the back foyer and I said, "Hi, young lady, have we ever met?" She goes, "Dad, come on."
Clearly, you're a special case, Ron. So, Gina, let me ask you this, because it reflects the intentionality that we were talking about. But what are some of the things that you do, not even necessarily in this context, but in the context of where you live and your neighborhood, to help people kind of feel welcome and express that heart?
Well, I have, since moving to Fort Langley, I have tried to go to the same businesses around town. I go to a few every week, and I say hi, and I've been getting to know people and building relationships slowly. And I find that, just as cheesy as it sounds, just trying to have a joyful attitude and see the bright side of things can sometimes change people's day. And I think people start to remember that about you. And I think that we can do that and still be authentic. And I have to say that my roommate actually is almost better at it than I am, because when it comes to the people on our street and our neighbors, I get quite shy because we see them so much. I'm usually in my pajamas letting my dog out, and she's just, every time she sees them, she'll come home from a 12-hour shift, "How are you? Tell me about your kids and your day." And I'm like in the house, like under the covers. But she's challenged me to work on that, because I think sometimes it's harder with people you see so often that you have to really push yourself. And so, yeah, she's great at that. I got to work on that.
Ron, tell us how you are intentional about welcome in terms of your neighborhood and sort of being outside of this context.
I don't have neighbors.
Okay, that's
no,
right.
Just kidding. when you're driving by and you see one of your neighbors, instead of just going hello and then quickly boot it, you stop it and you find out what's going on, how they doing, you know, especially my wife, she's really good at it. She kind of invites, especially if there's an old guy within three blocks, they're done. So just kind of work your way into their lives. Because sometimes when you're on a bigger property, people get very introverted. They don't. The reason they're on acreage is because they don't really like people too much, and they don't.
So I should buy an acreage, is what you're telling me?
I'm building a community on my property. I like people.
So again, that idea of being intentional, right? And
it is.
And making sure that you're inviting and so on.
Yeah.
So Gina, if we can actually go back to that with you a little bit. I have a friend, and one of the things that he's taught me over the years is whenever he goes into a store, he'll typically try and go to the same store, which you mentioned. You know, you consistently go back to the same business to try and develop a level of relationship. But he also said, whenever I'm going through a lineup in like supermarket or something, he plays a little game where he says, "I'm going to try and make this cashier's day. I'm going to try and like make this the funnest experience that they've ever had." And it actually just turns into a game. I don't even know if he really is. It's about Jesus anymore. He just likes having fun. So, but this is still challenging for us, right? To put ourselves out there. What has your journey been like in going, "Man, I really want to be more welcoming, but why are we held back? Why do you think that we hold ourselves back? What holds us back, and what's going on with that?"
I think it's the fear of being vulnerable. And I've been reading this great book lately by Brené Brown on the gifts of imperfection. And she talks about how we need to just continually put ourselves out there time and time again and, you know, go halfway, not knowing if the other person is going to meet us there. And that's scary, but she also talks about how vulnerability is courage. And I think that we need that courage, and we need to risk that to really have true connections. And so that's what I keep telling myself.
That's good. Vulnerability is courage.
Hero, a question for you based on that. So you're in the retail business, and things are going well. It's awesome. So we know that there's the whole customer service piece that you do, and you guys do it very well. How do you take it from the customer service piece and into something that is perhaps a bit more in terms of the welcoming side, some of the things that we're talking about, authenticity and those kinds of things? How do you relate that way to your customers?
Well, that's a good question. I think a very important part of being welcoming is also listening. And listening to what they have to say. And they could be ranting, or you know, they could tell you about their great day or an experience that they had with coffee or whatever it is. And I'm here to listen. And I think that makes a lot of people comfortable. And when you're genuinely listening, instead of just listening for the sake of listening. You could feed off of people's positivity. If they have a bad day, you listen to their bad day, and that kind of releases their negativity. Mm. And I have a little bit of experience in this because in my previous employment, I was the I had training in that, which is the PTSD, so post-traumatic stress disorder. So I had training in that, so I would listen to what happened, and that relieves a lot of stress on people. And so that's what I do most of the day, is I listen to people talk, and so it's not that difficult, to be more welcoming. You just have to open your ears and be patient.
I think it's a great point that you raise. Absolutely. So welcoming isn't always about talking. Welcoming is about listening, and that's an invitation, isn't it?
Yeah. I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool.
Very cool. I've investigated listening over the past few years a little bit because I'm so keen to just throw all my own stuff in there. Do you find that you enjoy life more when you listen more, that you just sort of sit back and ask a good question and go from there? Do you feel that that de-stresses you when you just choose to listen versus project?
Well, I find a lot of stories very interesting. And, of course, I drink coffee a lot. So so I do a lot of talking myself. And people usually have to tell me to shut up. That's enough, But it is... for me, it's a great experience to hear so many people's different stories, their perspectives on a lot of things. And, I really enjoy it. It is a way for me to lower my stress levels as well. Yeah, I have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, there's something about going, man, I don't have to stress out about having to prove something to them. I can just relax, and it's okay. And, yeah, something about that, isn't there? Yeah. Yeah.
What would be, maybe Sujina will ask you this question first and then back to Hero, but what would be some of the challenges that you face, you think, or that we face as a community in terms of welcoming people? What are some of the roadblocks that just kind of get in the way?
Well, for me, I love having people over, and I love having dinner parties and having a full house. I'm happy when I have a full house, but I'm also a little bit OCD. And I struggle. I always feel vulnerable when I'm having people over because I don't know when they're going to leave. I want to have enough food. I want everyone to have someone to talk to, and it's a lot of pressure. And the more I do it, again, the easier it gets. But it is hard, and you do have to sacrifice your time and your resources. But it's always worth it, I think.
Yeah, right on. Let me just kind of press in on that OCD piece a little bit. Not your OCD necessarily, but we're all often like that. Like in our house, too, sometimes when we think about having people over, you got to vacuum, you got to do this, you got to do all of that. And actually, it can become almost overwhelming because you think, well, every time I invite somebody over, I've got to have the house clean. And I keep on saying to Linda, nobody will notice. But she doesn't really believe me. But I think is that not one of those roadblocks that we have, is that how we are perceived when people come into our home can sometimes get in the way?
Mm-hmm. I think it can.
Right. And would you agree with me that really we it would be helpful for us to get over that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm working on that.
Yeah.
And I've started to have a thing where I clean after people leave than before, and I just... Right. I have like the few things I can do in 5 minutes, but
I've talked to people here that say I don't feel like I can invite anybody over unless I have a full meal for them because I feel it's just what I'm supposed to do. And I'm thinking, tea and toast. Yeah. Tea and toast works. You know?
No, full meal.
I think that's cool though, because it's showing us, I think, even in people's wrestling with whether it be OCD or people-pleasing or whatever you want to call it, it almost shows us different character facets of God, where God is just wants to be with people. He's rushing down the driveway, inviting them in, but at the same time, he's a God of order. And so for me, I'm very similar to you, Sujina. I find that I feel very calmed when I can make my place immaculate, because I feel like I'm creating a place of order where people can come into and they can relax. So I think there's a bit of a both sides in that. Whatever's not going to stress you out, maybe do that thing.
Exactly.
Who knows? Who knows?
What do you think, Harold? What are some of the challenges? Obviously, from a retail viewpoint, customer service, you face some challenges. But what are some of the challenges to welcome?
Well, the challenges for me are actually within myself. You know, fatigue and just, you know, meeting so many people. Sometimes at the end of the day, you don't want to meet any more people, and you don't want to talk to anybody. But I go home and I have three screaming kids and a whole set of responsibilities to do at home. So for me, really, you know, looking after your health, eating properly, sleeping well, those things keep you positive. And, you know, keeping sort of, you know, TV and computer time sort of to a minimum and trying to spend more time with the kids, things that are more important, that helps me get through to the next day, and then where I can be refreshed, meet a whole new set of people, and do more talking. You know, I think the barriers are within myself. You know, I have some of those days where I'm a little bit off, you know, and just too tired. And I hope that the day is not that busy almost sometimes, so that I can, you know, relax and not talk to anybody. But usually I try, those are all within me to change, and so I can be more welcoming just by changing my attitude. So those are the roadblocks that I have. This community of Fort Langley has been, it's been such a great experience for me so far. I've never felt community this strong nowhere else in the Lower Mainland. So for me, it's an amazing experience, and I really appreciate all the people who supported us, you know, throughout the year. And somehow we're thinking of ways to give back to the community. So, yeah. For me, not too many challenges as far as the outside, but always some challenges within me sometimes. So.
Right. Yeah, I think that's sort of what you were talking about too, Ron, right? There's these times where you just don't feel it. But and yet, it would seem that Jesus would call us to that place where there needs to be that level of intentionality, and sometimes it just means getting over where you're at. But that's not always an easy place to be. But as we love one another, as we serve one another, it's a place that we're called to, I think.
I saw someone posted something yesterday talking about not engaging too much with social media. I was. And they said the best things in life aren't things. I don't know who said that or where it came from or anything, but it just was one of those pithy statements that goes, like, at the end of the day, there's tasks, there's money, there's stuff going on for all of us. But, you know, you seem to be so aware, actually all three of you, as we've talked about this, you're aware of what's in your tank and what isn't in your tank. And so being aware of that and being able to be there for people when you can be and not spending that energy on things that don't need to spend the energy on, right? I think that's pretty cool, yeah.
All right, we have a final question for you, and that's this. How are you feeling challenged? I'll ask each of you this. Challenged to be more welcoming, more open, more invitational, authentic community. How are you feeling challenged, maybe through this series, but obviously just through who you are? And how are you feeling challenged?
Do I have to answer first?
Yes, you do.
You're so mean. I think it's just, it's something that, it's like renewing your mind. It's a battle of your mind that you constantly have to be aware of who you're talking to, what they're thinking, or whoever, and just trying to be the most welcoming person that you can. Sometimes you're not comfortable. Sometimes the tank is half full, but at least it's not half empty. So.
Whoa! That was.
That was.
That's tweetable.
You should go on Heroes International speaking tour with him.
So, Gina, what are your thoughts?
I guess for me, when I came here about a year and a half ago now, I didn't know anyone in the church. I didn't know anyone in the town. And so every time I was going for coffee or to an event, I was meeting five new people and investing in new relationships. And now I find it's harder to find people I don't know. And I've fallen into this rut where I just hang out with the same group of people. I just see someone I know and I gravitate to them. And I think it's just real effort of just putting yourself out there constantly to approach new people. And I think it's really easy as you get to know more people to get stuck and to stop pushing yourself. So, yeah.
Well said. Hero.
I guess I just have to hone my customer service skills even more. I get a lot of practice, you know, running the store. And, you know, I don't find too many things challenging. I think, you know, when it's a different world than when we were growing up. You know, we were just in the stage of video games coming on. TV and all those things. So I was sort of the, you know, of that group that grew up with video games and being in front of the TV. So I think, you know, what I myself have to do is keep in mind on how to raise my children so that they can interact with others, you know, just like we did, instead of, you know, just texting or tweeting or messaging. You know, human interaction, I think, is very important, and places like this facilitate that and give opportunities for growth, you know, as humans. We're not robots, so we do have to interact with each other, and I think that's a very, very valuable lesson to be learned. So.
Wow. That's cool. Can we say thank you to these guys for sharing with us this morning?
You didn't have to leave, Ron. Was it something we said, or I don't know. I just went to get my
Come
Bible.
Come on back, but... Ron. He's going to his acreage.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
It's not over?
Yeah, it's not over. Well, just about over.
Half over?
As we've gone through this series, I hope that we've all learned from this, and we'll continue to learn and continue to go into places that are deeper. This really is important for us. And I think Sojina had a great comment there, is that, you know, we can get so used to one another that this is our comfort place, and yet we have to remember that this table is always open.
Nice table.
And it is a nice table. And, you know, Jesus calls us to this place. He calls us to welcome others. That is part of what our heart is, must be. That's part of what we're called to do. And we do that by loving others and welcoming others and being Jesus to them. Very important for us indeed. So, yeah, it's been good stuff. Why don't you stand up, everybody? We're going to pray as we leave this house. Please remember what we talked about earlier, some of the practical opportunities to extend welcome. The practical side would be helping the Palmers with their moving on Saturday. Guys, if you can help us with that, please let Linda or Ruben know about that. And also, don't forget about our picnic this coming week, or this coming Sunday, right after the second service. It's going to be amazing. We could use some help just setting things up and so on, but to let Linda know about that. But feel free to invite somebody to come, and we're going to have a great time together over at the park. Father, thank you for your love for us and the incredible welcome that you have given us. Lord, you invited us in. You did pursue us, and we're thankful for that. Thankful for an incredible love that just continues to amaze us every day. Lord, thank you for this family. Thank you for this community. Thank you for Fort Langley and the communities that are represented here. Lord, may we be a people of welcome. May we be a people of invitation. Constantly reminded that this table is open, and there are many others who need to be at it. Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood, may he equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him. All glory to him forever and ever. And his people said, Amen. Amen. Have a great Sunday, you guys. Let's hear it for this crowd once again.